This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, and welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Radulski, co-host, Dr. Carl.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about the recent visit to Bill Maher from Jilly Michaels. I swear, it's like every few months I'm either talking about Bill Maher or Jillian Michaels.
And the thing is, we just did this to
for Mark Hyman
to bust the myth of Mark Hyman. And then as it turns out, she's using him as a source to say all this crazy mythology on Bill Maher, and he has no expertise in this stuff at all. Oh my God.
Yeah. So the gist is that she went on and, you know, like,
Bill Maher likes to be a contrarian. So that's what he does. I get it. But he never wants real experts on his show.
Yeah. Just bring us on. Somebody.
At least we don't have conflicts of interest, because that's what Jillian says all doctors. She literally responded to me on Facebook saying, well, I assume you guys profit from this.
Yeah, no, we don't. No, we don't make money.
So anyways,
not yet anyway.
So I have some clips that we can play.
Yeah, let's just go through it. No ad hominem, whatever, right. Like Jillian, you know, everybody's like, oh, why does she's irrelevant now? It's like, well, I don't know. She was a trainer on The Biggest Loser. So yeah, it's just. She's on TV making these claims, so let's just bust the claims.
And she did ask us to be on her podcast, so maybe we'll be able to talk to her directly, and you know, maybe have a good conversation.
And it'll be like Rocky IV. Everybody can, if you can change,
everybody can change.
Everybody can change.
All right, here we go. See if you can hear Bill Maher
talking about Ozempic, but. I trust that you've done the research. What is your...
Yeah, so the first thing is you don't need to trust me, because I am not transacting in opinions.
Right.
So I am simply outlining the facts for people, encouraging you to Google it, do your own homework on the things that I say, and then make the decision for yourself.
Holy cow. So first of all, correct. Yeah, you shouldn't trust random people going on TV shows that have no, you know, training or expertise. So that's the first thing. And I would argue, no, you shouldn't just Google it. That's the problem, is that there's so much misinformation on the random internet that, you know, how is one supposed to interpret what all these different people are saying when everyone says a bunch of crazy stuff? She's right that the information is free. It's just not what she says.
You got to know where to look.
Tons of studies on this for available to people.
You got to know where to look. I mean, well, I suppose if you know how to search, I mean, if you search her claims and find studies and know how to make sure that it's legit,
level of
I know
ability to interpret.
I know. Just Google and find a YouTube video that. Okay, keep going.
So that's not helpful. Okay, here's another one.
You are one of the 50% that has zero side effects. I feel great. Never felt better.
So that's it? 50% has zero side effects?
At least 50% are going to have gastrointestinal issues. Vomiting, constipation,
okay,
diarrhea,
sure.
And then it gets more nefarious. But I'm backing into it, you know, from the sunlight here, right?
Okay.
Before we get into stomach paralysis, intestinal blockage, and pancreatitis.
So those are other...
That's a whole shit. I haven't even gone there yet for
we'll
you.
We'll go there.
We're going...
Holy cow. All right, so now we got to actually talk about the real data, the data that are actually published and are no secret to anybody and are different than what these people keep claiming. So first of all, real side effects. Percentage of people getting nausea is pretty high, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the percent? What's the high? What's step one surmount? What are the? I can never. I mean, it is around. It's like around 50%.
50% or more yeah. percent of get some nausea. However, yeah. the real statistic that I think is important in these trials is that the people dropping out due to those side effects is in the single digit percentage.
Yeah, it's like low 5% or lower. 2%
of people are able to weather whatever storm. And there's nausea. And some people get some constipation, some people get some diarrhea, you know, very rare other types of side effects, but that's
nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Hey, Pepto-Bismol, a sponsor of this podcast.
This guy's some Pepto-Bismol for any of my Spaceball fans. Anyways, so yeah, but then what the studies also show, by the way, we have to say this every single time. We have been using these medications, these types of medications for type 2 diabetes for 20 years now. Right. So this is not new 18. Stuff. 2005. Exactly. Yeah.
19.
It was researched well before that. Anyways. So so most people then can those symptoms tend to go away. Okay.
Yeah, they resolve by the it's these things. Look, yeah, 50 or more. I would say probably more get some little bit of nausea over the course of their treatment. However, 90 some percent it resolves for.
Yeah. And that's what the studies show. It's not, we're not making this up. She's making it up.
And we're not saying there's no side effects, right, by the way. Like everybody, most people are going to have some nausea.
Yeah, people who don't have disease shouldn't be taking this. That's not the point.
Yeah.
This is for people with real disease.
Okay.
So then she everyone mentions pancreatitis. She said,
did she talk more about pancreatitis in a second or no?
Later on. But I mean, the basics are that, you know, she mentions it. She cites, she claims she gets her information from Mark Hyman and Peter Attia, who we have talked about so much. I don't want to add
that nausea. Him.
Either, but it's like,
oh, we could
have no expertise in them. I know we could, but they've never published on the stuff. Kidding. They don't have any expertise, and the actual studies on pancreatitis, she claimed 400% increase that on the show. Then on the Facebook page, that when she responded to me, she said 900% increase. What do the actual data show? So several meta-analyses of all GLP-1 receptor agonists do not show an increased risk statistically of pancreatitis. They do, however, reduce the risk of heart attacks, mortality, and kidney disease. Semaglutide itself, so Ozempic, Wegovy, type 2 diabetes, obesity, meta-analysis, 21 studies, 35,000 patients, no statistically increased risk of pancreatitis compared to placebo. That was just published last year.
Yeah. In the SELECT trial.
Huge trial.
Huge.
Huge. Many thousands of patients. These people have established heart disease and obesity. There was like hardly any pancreatitis at all, let alone increased risk. But what about people with diabetes? Well, the Sustained 6 cardiovascular trial, huge trial in people with diabetes and very high risk or established cardiovascular disease. Here are the actual numbers. 9 patients out of several thousand got pancreatitis in the semaglutide group. 12 got it in the placebo group.
Yeah, I mean, look, they keep parroting this. Where do they get it? I they're getting it from the concern from way back when exenatide first came out. That was the concern, was because there's effect on the pancreas these drugs have an effect on the pancreas to maybe proliferate or at least stabilize beta cell.
And we want to have caution. That's why they're there. That's why it was on the box in the first place.
Yeah.
For us, the physicians and the patients
to at least be aware
of it, the potential theoretical risk. So it's not like people shouldn't be cowboy. Now, I think there are places out there that are inappropriately prescribing this, right? Well, you know, that's a whole nother thing. Well, she also mentions thyroid cancer again.
Thyroid.
We have talked about this again ad nauseum. It is the exceedingly rare medullary thyroid cancer that was only seen in rodents who have higher GLP-1 receptors on their C cells. In their thyroid, yeah. And it has not been shown in humans. So here's another meta-analysis in 2023. No increased risk of any neoplasm, pancreatic cancer, or any thyroid cancer, let alone just the exceedingly rare medullary thyroid cancer, with semaglutide. And that's a meta-analysis of 37 randomized controlled trials and 19 real-world trials.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a ton of analysis, and there's no increased risk. So let's not scaremonger and tell people that, because then That's a problem.
Here's what her message should be. Her message should be like, look, please don't use this for vanity weight loss purposes. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a clinical indication and talk to your doctor. But instead, there's a hyperbolic message out there that these things aren't good because like they have these obesity biases. I mean, it's clear. They want people to suffer. And if you can't lose the weight through the suffering of diet and exercise, then you're basically a failure and you don't want it enough. That's the implication. That's the bottom line. And I'd love to talk with her and be like, what makes you uncomfortable about these medicines?
Right.
Like, seriously, like, why do I care? I'm a thinner person. Am thinner and I have no problem helping people out. Like why make people suffer? I don't know.
Here's another, this is a little bit longer clip, so be prepared.
First, I'm going to tell you what your best case is.
This is about like weight maintenance stuff.
Oh, I feel great. I have no symptoms. Amazing.
Right.
I've lost a ton of weight.
Right.
Amazing. Okay. Now we're 18 months into it and you will plateau. It's not a question.
Right.
It's not my opinion.
Sure.
It's fact. Hashtag let me Google that for you, right? Yes. So Google now you've plateaued.
Another thing I think people, sorry to interject, but people sometimes don't know is that many drugs have, we would call it in politics, a sunset clause, like they end. Like I know someone who's on, you know, they have a pill for lung cancer and it does amazing things, but it does sunset.
The body is homeostatic.
It does stop working at some point.
For that reason, right? The body is like, oh, we've been doing this exogenously, so I'm going to make some endogenous adjustments.
Right.
So and bad. You will find homeostasis. Bill, come on, Bill.
Right.
Not a question.
All right, let's just talk. So she's talking about plateaus. So first of all, let's address what she says.
Well, does she think that you're just going to wither away to literally nothing?
So nothing? Right. Is that what we want? No. We don't want people to get down to nothing.
It doesn't even make any sense.
And,
of
you know,
course.
And of course, she brings up, you know, the muscle thing that, you know, Peter Attia brought up all the time. And those two little things almost like contradict each other a little bit. It's like, no, we don't want people to keep losing weight that's unhealthy. We want good, appropriate weight reduction that results in health benefits, right? And yes, the body, absolutely. All the pathophysiology that she was about to talk about, by the way, we could go on and on, but she goes, I can tell you about all the mechanisms. Well, let's not forget where she got her stardom from. The Biggest Loser, where all they did was exercise all day and not eat anything, and they lost a ton of weight. That's where Kevin Hall got his metabolic adaptation.
And then regained it.
And then they all regained a ton of weight, and they were worse off. So, gosh darn, that's so frustrating.
Yeah, but
and then Bill, come on, Bill. Like, if medicines work, they work. It doesn't mean they stop having benefit.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't have magic pills.
What she's really describing is like a tachyphylaxis, and this is what we do see a little bit with phentermine, which is the noradrenaline type of drug that we use. It's an older drug we've talked about on our podcast, and some people feel like the effects wear off and then they do start regaining. Whereas this one, they feel like the effects do wear off, but they don't regain. It's durable. The weight is stable. So what's going on pathophysiologically is that there's appetite dysregulation and you basically take a tool and tamper that down. And as long as you're taking the medicine, it's tampered down. And yeah, you plateau at some point because you can't just completely get rid of your appetite. You're always going to have a little bit. No matter what. And as you lose weight, appetite can ramp up. So at some point it levels out.
Yeah. And then she talks about, oh, and you got to be on it forever. Yeah. Cause it's a chronic progressive relapse.
Now I will say not everybody needs to stay on it forever.
Probably
like there's a small percentage. It's not a ton, but they're in the small minority.
Just like if they end up getting, or this is treating their type 2 diabetes, their heart disease, you know, the blood pressure, all those things. A lot of times people get to go off medications because of these medications and the reduced risk of all those things. All right. Here's one other little nugget that she goes on.
Why isn't this being talked about more? Why are you, and this one, you're the pioneer getting.
Yeah, here's the problem.
So first of all, Bill just said, wait, why is nobody talking about this more? You're the pioneer. No, come on.
No, that's
come on, Bill. Jeez.
That's fiction.
All of the doctors quietly that I work with on the DL feed me the information. But the problem is, some of them are at Stanford, some of them are at Harvard.
They get
grant money from these companies.
And also, people are such sheep. And once this became like the miracle drug, you know, I call it the one true opinion, then that becomes anointed as the one true opinion. And a lot of media is in the pocket. You know, I used to do
65% funded by Big Pharma.
I used to do a bit here we go, the Big Pharma. The evening news that it was very fun.
Well, so anyway, so they go on to say, well, you know, Fatima Cody Stanford, she's getting paid, and then she's on 60 Minutes. The Big Pharma's paying for commercials on 60 Minutes, so they're basically buying 60 Minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, most people are not actually getting paid for these data. And we are not.
We're like, you guys are getting paid. I'm almost sick of this. It's the meme. You guys are getting paid.
Yeah,
I mean, like, okay, first of all, the elephant in the room, like the 60 Minutes thing, there is a bad, there are some bad optics there.
It was not a great interview.
Yeah. It looked like an infomercial. Yeah. It sounded like an infomercial. Yeah. I have nothing against Fatima, but like she gets paid a lot. Let's get somebody on there that doesn't have conflicts of interest, please. That'd be nice.
Of course, we like could go on there and look like.
So
lift some weights.
Get these drugs. Drink some protein shakes.
Anyway, so she goes on, you know, and she said that on the Facebook post. She's like, "Oh, I assume you guys profit from this. What? What are you talking about?" She
just Jillian Michaels went on your like. There's a ton of people giving her crap, and for whatever reason, she responds to you and starts going off, and everybody laughed at her. It was funny. Most of them were laughed reacts.
But it's because it's crazy. Like
because it's a little bit. It's a little bit nuts, but. I'll go on your podcast. I'll sit there right in front of her and why don't we just pull up the data in real time and be like, look, you're talking to Mark Hyman. Like, God, the guy doesn't have a scientific bone in his body.
Talk about conflicts of interest. Peter Attia, yeah. Mark Hyman, their conflicts are like,
clearly
they're selling supplements. They're making, you know, egregious amounts of money from,
I don't think Attia doesn't sell supplements. He just makes a lot of money from his scientific. Hollywood.
Well, he gets paid a ton Hollywood by actors. Dexcom to tell everyone they need.
I think it's 200,000. 200,000.
Well, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
All right. Here's
I think,
more,
I don't know.
Here's
I
one more clip. This was after the show, kind of the extra little podcast thing they do.
Side effects alone, 50% of the people that take it
gets into the side effects a little
nausea, vomiting, constipation, and a lot of people will get off of it because they can't tolerate those side effects.
We talked about that. Not many people do
that. There's pancreatitis, kidney failure, and it's like, oh, which one?
Okay, hold on. Kidney failure. That's not true.
Actually, yeah, so
these data are supportive of kidneys as long as we don't cause dehydration.
Yeah, so I put this in my Facebook or in my Instagram post, but there's a trial that got stopped early because of the actual renal protective state of those on like semaglutide specifically. And basically, you know, yeah, these drugs are probably renal protective. Maybe is it from the glycemic benefit and whatever else? Yeah, maybe. And maybe the blood pressure benefit. The worry is that if you acutely become ill, you don't drink, you're vomiting, you get a hypovolemia, you get dehydrated, you're not getting as much blood to your kidneys, that hurts your kidneys and that can harm your kidneys.
Yeah.
So that can happen.
Those are side effects on the box.
How much?
Yeah, okay. She's blaming it on the box. We already talked about it.
100% increased chance of pancreatitis from taking this drug.
Right. So that's not true. We already went over that.
You've got thyroid tumors.
We went over that. That is not true.
So thyroid.
You've got muscle loss. And now anecdotally, we're seeing articles on The Daily, one that came out just yesterday, saying that psychiatrists think it warps your brain. The side effects alone.
What is she talking about?
There was a stupid bunch of articles that just came out talking about how it changes your personality. Here's what's going on. People don't have as much anxiety around their food, and they feel like they actually can
live life.
Actually live their life in a quality manner.
So you want like, anecdotal data? The anecdotes that we get from patients, that all of our colleagues get from patients that are actually published, are improved physical function, improved mental health, generally speaking. And they feel like, wow, this is what it's like to not have like that constant problem of, you know
honestly, like for us doing this, it doesn't even matter because the proof's in the pudding. The demand is so high for these medicines, despite all of these people saying negative things because of how well they work.
Yeah.
Period.
You know, but to be fair, so to these guys' points, there are, and we could discuss this for hours, there is a lot of inappropriate prescribing.
Yeah, really, of course.
These should be used for people with real disease, and the more severe disease gets, the more the benefit. And we just talked about cost effectiveness compared to sleeve gastroplasties with the endoscopy.
Bottom line, the medicine costs have to come down.
Yeah. 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 If they were really, really cheap, yeah, probably a lot of people would be reasonable to be on. Weird. But anyways.
Yeah. I mean, not all of us had abs in utero.
There it is again. At least I didn't get fired this episode.
You might.
I might.
We could.
Well, maybe because Jillian said shit.
Yeah, that's fine. I put explicit when I
oh good
whenever I hear, because the last one I remember, I think I threw an F-bomb or some type of bomb in there. I had to put explicit on when I uploaded it. Yeah, but anyway, so but look, Jillian, we've
if you listen to this, which you won't, we will be on your podcast. Yeah, when you
bring us on
if you want us on. She did invite us. It's just her the media boss has to make it happen, I guess.
let's go we'll be nice. I mean,
we'll be nice. We're just, not actually mean.
No we just make fun of each other usually.
Yeah. Especially how much you smell.
La, 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 la. All right, here's our outro. Send this to a friend if you want. Yeah, share whatever. This,
please.
Yeah, sure. Please.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.